Hello! Hope everybody's having a good week. I am doing great. Coming off a very busy week with simulations and clinicals. And of course, my hypochondria stressing me out that I might have C. diff now because I took care of somebody with C. diff. Yippee. Exemplars for musculoskeletal disorders include muscular dystrophy, club foot, hip dysplasia, leg Calvé-Perthes disease, scoliosis, slipped capital femoral epiphysis, genu valgum, and genu verum. And my pronunciation is not going to be great on those, but bear with me. And so my teacher included a graphic to remember genu valgum and genu verum. Valgum has some chewed up gum sticking the knees together, and verum has a bottle of rum keeping the legs spread apart. It's like a fifth. So if you can remember the gum one, I think it is explanatory. So the gum sticks the knees together and the verum is the opposite. And then for valgum, genu valgum is normal until about school age. So it's normal to have a little bit of knock knee until 7 years old. And then if it persists or it's also accompanied by short stature or asymmetry, then it needs to be further evaluated. And genu verum is normal from about the time they start walking until 2 to 3 years of age. But after that, it needs to be evaluated, and that would be by x-ray, CT, MRI, and it can be caused by rickets or Blount disease. Okay, the next exemplar is clubfoot, also known as talipes equinovarus, and this comes in three different classes. It can be positional, idiopathic, or syndromic. And so for clubfoot, positional is believed to be the result of uterine overcrowding. Idiopathic is congenital, where the child is otherwise normal, but they have this clubfoot that is unknown source. And then syndromic is clubfoot that's associated with other congenital anomalies and thought to have a genetic origination. And the clinical treatments for clubfoot include serial casting, surgical intervention, the use of braces for maintenance, and ongoing orthopedic care for follow-up. The casting method is called Ponseti's method of manipulation, and they will be using the serial casting for 6 to 10 weeks. The surgical procedure is the Achilles tenotomy, which is a procedure to release the tightness of the Achilles tendon. And braces for clubfoot are worn for 23 hours a day for up to 3 months, and then just at night for 2 to 4 years. And surgery is done only if other treatments don't fix it and depend on the type and extent of the deformity. Patient education for clubfoot. The parents will need to be educated about serial casting and that they will be changing the cast weekly. And then care and maintenance of casts. They need to be checked for rough edges and to avoid lotions and powders. Also check the temperature and color of the legs 3 times per day. And then at first, when they're into the bracing after casting, they will apply the braces for 1 to 2 hours, then 2 to 4, and work up to the time that they're going to be spending in the brace. Okay, developmental dysplasia of the hip refers to abnormalities of the hip joint, which is the ball and socket joint consisting of the acetabulum, which is the socket portion, and the femoral head, which is the top of the femur bone. And it causes hip instability because of the three severity levels. So the first level would be acetabular dysplasia, which is preluxation, where the acetabular opening, I don't know, it's shallow and not quite perfectly fitted. And then the next level is subluxation, which is an incomplete dislocation of the hip where the ball and socket is loosely fitted. And then the severe DDH is dislocation of the femoral head where the ball and socket are not in contact anymore. Risk factors for DDH include oligohydramnios, multiple gestations, macrosomic babies, a breech position, as well as improper swaddling, family history of developmental dysplasia of the hip, and being assigned female at birth. Clinical manifestations of developmental dysplasia of the hip include asymmetry of the gluteal and thigh skin folds, limited abduction of the hip, positive Ortolani test, positive Barlow test, X-ray, and then in older children, the affected leg will be shorter than the unaffected leg. There may be telescoping or piston mobility of the joint, Trendelenburg sign, a prominent greater trochanter, and marked lordosis if there are bilateral dislocations, and a waddling gait if there are bilateral dislocations. The Ortolani maneuver consists of flexing the baby's hip at 90 degrees and gently abducting it. If the femoral head was out of the socket, this will cause it to slip back in and sound and feel like a clunk in the joint. After the age of 6 months, the hip abduction test can be used, which is similar, but instead of a clunk, you'll see that hip abduction is limited because of muscle shortening. The Trendelenburg test is when the child stands on one leg and the pelvis should dip towards the unsupported leg side if it's a positive test. And then X-rays can be used to confirm the diagnosis. There are also the Barlow sign or Barlow test and the Galeazzi test. The Barlow is, instead of abduction, it's adduction of the flexed leg, and it will actually pop the socket, the joint out of the socket. And so, but after 2 to 3 months of age, the Ortolani test and Barlow maneuvers are less sensitive, but then that's when the Galeazzi sign, which is asymmetric shortening on the side of the dislocation, can be seen, or then the Trendelenburgs or the hip abduction would be more useful. The splinting with Pavlik harness will be worn for 22 to 24 hours for 6 to 12 weeks. The other options for treatments are surgical closed reduction, traction with abduction, and operative reduction with preoperative traction and lengthening, and post-op range of motion. Patient teaching for DDH are teaching parents how to maintain and apply maintenance device, prevention of skin breakdown with frequent checks, gently massage the skin under the straps of the Pavlik harness. Avoid lotions and powders. Treatment for developmental dysplasia of the hip includes Pavlik harness, most commonly done. It's for the youngest from newborn to 6 months old, and they can possibly have a hip spica cast as well. Between 6 and 24 months, they might have a hip abduction or orthosis and a surgical reduction with hip spica cast. For older children, they'll have surgical reduction and physical therapy with gait training. The client teaching for DDH is teaching them how to care for their harness or cast, emotional support and post-operative care if they do the surgical treatments, and then teach the family how to care for their baby or child at home and when to contact the provider. They will also be taught to check their skin and toes often and observe the color and temperature of the extremities. I think this is interesting to note that closed reduction is just putting the child under anesthesia to manually place the femoral head back into the acetabulum. If this closed reduction procedure doesn't work, then open reduction is the surgical intervention where they actually open up the body and put the femoral head back into the acetabulum. And then that's followed by the wearing of a special hip cast called a spica cast that will immobilize the femoral head inside the acetabulum as it heals. And then that would be open reduction. So they're different. And obviously one of them comes with a lot more patient teaching and possible complications. Okay, these notes are getting long, so I'm going to try to be quicker. Scoliosis. Scoliosis is the curvature of the spine, and it can have different types based on what location of the spine. So thoracic scoliosis, lumbar scoliosis, thoracolumbar scoliosis, and combined scoliosis. The clinical manifestations of scoliosis are truncal asymmetry, an uneven shoulder and hip height, one-sided rib hump, a prominent scapula. Usually there's no pain or discomfort because scoliosis is based on like abnormal rotation during growth, and it's a slow situation. The treatment is bracing, exercise, and surgical management depending on the severity. Bracing is not a cure, but it prevents further curvature. The causes of scoliosis include congenital, idiopathic, which is the most common, and neuromuscular. Diagnosis of scoliosis can be done by observation, x-ray, MRI, CT, and bone scanning. And then whether it's severe or not depends on the Cobb angle, which is the degree of curvature. So minor curvature would be less than 25 degrees. And then between 25 and 40 degrees is moderate curvature, and that's when bracing is used to treat it. Curvatures beyond 45 degrees typically require surgery, and the surgeries include spinal fusion, stapling, and body tethering. Nursing management for scoliosis is monitor for cardiopulmonary complications, providing supportive care during treatment, and psychosocial support because you know, they can struggle with body image, and then they might have skin breakdown and discomfort. So there, it's recommended to wear a cotton t-shirt underneath the brace and avoid lotions and powders, and make sure they know to wear the brace for the prescribed amount of time each day and continue with physical therapy. Torticollis is also called wry neck, and it's something that babies can be born with from intrauterine crowding or breech positioning, and it's usually resolved by simple position changes or stretching. But what it looks like is a neck tilt with the chin going towards one of the shoulders. Kyphosis is named after the Greek word kyphos, meaning hump. And so this is a convex curve of the spine and it can happen in the cervical, thoracic, or sacral areas. It's caused by poor posture, weak muscles, old age, vertebral fractures, osteoporosis, degenerative disc diseases, or arthritis. Complications of kyphosis include difficulty walking, respiratory, decreased pulmonary function, gastrointestinal dysfunction, reflux, hernias, and a fall risk because of imbalance. Lordosis is also called swayback and comes from the Greek word lordos, meaning bent backward. And it can be caused by obesity, osteoporosis, muscle strength imbalance, which is a weak hamstring or tight hip flexors. There can be temporary lordosis during pregnancy, and it can also be caused by degenerative disc disease and nerve compression. Slipped capital femoral epiphysis is a hip condition that occurs in prepubescent and teenagers who are still growing. And what happens is the ball at the head of the femur slips off the neck of the bone in a backward direction. Basically, the cap of the femur is connected with cartilaginous connective tissue while it's still growing, and it comes off. And signs and symptoms of this are pain, stiffness, and instability in the affected hip. And it can develop gradually over time. And this is an emergency situation and requires surgical intervention. More accurately, it's an urgent situation. A possible complication of slipped capital femoral epiphysis is leg calvae perthes disease. This is avascular necrosis of the femoral head, which just means bone death in the joint. And possible risk factors include a disruption in blood supply to the femur, trauma, coagulation disorders, genetics, a breech position at birth, and of course, the injury that we just talked about, slipped capital femoral epiphysis. So it is self-limiting and idiopathic. It occurs in prepubescent or teenagers who are rapidly growing, and most often between the ages of 3 to 12 years, but most commonly ages 4 to 8 years, and more common in males. In 10 to 15% of cases, there will be bilateral hip involvement. And the treatment for leg calvae perthes disease can take up to 2 years, and they cannot be weight-bearing at first. And pain and limp are most evident on arising and at the end of their activity. It can have an insidious onset with a history of limp, soreness, stiffness, limited range of motion, and a vague history of trauma. The treatment is possible surgery, possible home traction, and takes more than 2 years. It's diagnosed by x-ray, and our nursing responsibility is going to be identifying children that are affected by this and getting them referred for treatment, and then compliance and education for the child and family for this long treatment. Okay, the last one for our exemplars is muscular dystrophy, in particular Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. And in Duchenne's, it is a genetic mutation that causes dystrophin protein to be completely absent. It is an X-linked recessive genetic disorder, and so it occurs almost exclusively in those assigned male at birth. The lack of dystrophin in the muscle cells causes muscle weakness and muscle wasting over time. The clinical manifestations start with subtle delays in developmental milestones, delayed walking, and muscle weakness, starting with proximal muscles, then distal. Difficulties running and climbing stairs are early signs, and an abnormal gait is a later sign. Children will have difficulty rising from a sitting or supine position, and they might have enlarged calves, lordosis, which is sway back, abnormal gait, frequent falls, and a developmental delay or disability. And this typically manifests between ages 3 and 5. Complications for Duchenne's muscular dystrophy include musculoskeletal complications like contractures, scoliosis, atrophy, and pulmonary infections. Obesity is a complication of Duchenne's, and there are cardiac complications like dilated cardiomyopathy, arrhythmias, and heart failure. They can also develop respiratory failure as their diaphragm muscle weakens, and they will have a shortened lifespan. Most clients with Duchenne's die in their 20s. Nursing responsibilities include maintaining function for the client with strength exercises, stretching, bracing, ADLs, respiratory support, balanced diet to support their growth and prevent obesity, prevent contractures with orthotic devices. Serial casting can be done, Achilles tendon release. Medications include corticosteroids, vaccinations. Glucocorticoids can slow some of the degeneration, and physical therapy and surgeries can improve some function. But also priority nursing goals are providing supportive care and emotional support with client and family teaching. For self-care. Fall prevention and a cough and deep breathing to strengthen the respiratory muscles are going to be important home interventions.